Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
Oh, are you there?
Yes, sir.
The song stopped.
Oh, I'm sorry. We give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, and his mercies endure to all generations. We certainly bless God for another week. We thank him for all of his goodness. We thank him for his mercies. We thank him for all of his benefits. All of the things that God has done and is doing for us, we certainly are grateful, recognizing that we can't make it without him. Can't make it. We can't make it in this journey without the Lord. And the fact that he has been so good to us, so merciful, kind, and compassionate, we are truly blessed. Truly, we are blessed and grateful for what the Lord is doing. He provides for our every need. For every need that we have, he supplies. And we are certainly grateful. He watches over us. You know, he protects us from dangers, seen as well as unseen dangers. We thank the Lord for that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Dangers, seen, and unseen. So we thank the Lord. So we're back again for another worship experience. And to go a little bit further in our studies concerning the end time, the sign of his coming, and the end of the age. You know, we know that he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. Of course, the rapture occurs in the air. You know, Jesus doesn't come back to the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says the Lord himself shall descend in the clouds with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, the rapture occurs in the air. The second advent he actually comes back to the earth. You know, he left from the Mount of Olives. From the Mount of Olives, you know, he ascended up. And, of course, when he comes back again for the Battle of Armageddon, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to descend upon the Mount of Olives. All eyes shall see him. Of course, during the rapture is going to occur in such a quick, and, you know, the Bible talks about a, you know, a quick change in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible says that we shall be changed. You know, this mortal will put on immortality. You know, the natural will put on the spiritual. But it says we would be changed. Our bodies will be fashioned unto his glorious body. You know, we will be changed. So we are grateful for the rapture and the fact that God see that, you know, we don't go through this tribulation, this time of Jacob's trouble. You know, this time where, you know, first of all, there's a something called the tribulation. Jesus called it the tribulation, and there's something that is called the great tribulation. Amen. So we're thankful that God doesn't suffer the church to go through the tribulation. You know, in the time of, you know, God keeps us in this hour, that he removes us from the earth. You know, we are removed. You know, it's a sad thing that this judgment comes, and it's really a judgment that God has brought against Israel for refusing to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And because they refuse the love of God to be saved, you know, God allowed them to go through this time. Jacob's trouble is what he calls it. And the Jews go through something called, you know, this tribulation. You know, it's really a judgment that's brought against Israel, but the whole world experiences it. You know, the whole world goes through this time. You know, of course, now that the church is raptured, the man of sin can be revealed, the Antichrist. Okay, and when he's revealed, he comes out with great diplomacy, you know, calling himself God and sitting in the temple, declaring himself as God, blasphemy, and calling down fires and doing signs and wonders. And because of his great diplomacy and his power, being that he is in charge of what they call the one world order. You know, the one world order is consistent of the one world banking system, the one world government, and the one world religion. The one world banking system, the one world government headed up by the United Nations, and the one world religion headed up by the Roman Catholic Church, Pope himself, the Vicar of Christ. The one world order. You know, this seal of the Illuminati appeared in 1776 with a pyramid with the eye of it. And as we look, we can look on a dollar bill and see the seal of the Illuminati. Okay? The abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Jesus told the man-child or the sun-cloth woman or Israel. He told Israel that he prayed that their flight be not in winter. But when you see this, he told them to flee, to leave Jerusalem. Amen? What we're going to pick up on today, praise the Lord, we're going to pick up on today. We certainly greet you in behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we certainly give him thanks for another worship experience. We pray that these services are a blessing to you. Amen. We're going to pick up again from Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to try to take a different turn today. We're going to go to the scriptures that deal with the millennium age, you know, the peace on earth, the millennium, 1,000-year rule, where the kingdom of Jesus Christ is here on the earth, ruling the universe from Jerusalem, from the temple. You know, Jesus is here on the earth, you know, ruling this world from Jerusalem. Amen. Let's read from Daniel chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 24. Only one verse. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, to furnish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliations for iniquities and to bring in everlasting righteousness and the seal of the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Amen. Let me read that again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This is the prophecy that God gave Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to furnish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Amen. We know that Daniel, let us pray before we go further in the word. Let's go to the throne of grace. Go to the throne of mercy and seek God's face. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father, we bless you for all things. We praise you, God, for all things. We exalt your holy and your righteous name. We lift up the name of Jesus. We call on that glorious and that mighty name. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Father, we come before you. We ask for forgiveness of sin. We ask that you wash us in your blood. We ask that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you remove all unrighteousness from us. That we give us of our spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew, fresh and outpouring of the Holy Ghost, of the anointing, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for the greatest teacher that is, the Holy Ghost. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Now we say, yes, God, yes to your will, yes to your way. We ask that the Holy Ghost would speak. Send your word down with power and authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over every evil, every serve to interrupt these services. We bind it up, every hindering spirit, Lord. We bind it up and we render helpless over these services. You know, we just say, speak, Lord. Speak, Father, for we desire to hear what it is that you would have for us to know concerning the mysteries of your word. We bless you, God, for sending us your word. We bless you for people that desire to understand and look into the mysteries of your word. We ask you for eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, bless us, and we shall be blessed. keep us, God, and we shall be kept is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God, and amen. The millennium kingdom, 1,000-year rule. After the Battle of Armageddon, 7 years of tribulation. The 7 years of tribulation, there is a war. Jesus Christ comes back to the earth to destroy the world system, the Antichrist, the false prophets, and they gather them to a strategic place called Megiddo, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. When he appears, he comes down into the Mount of Olives, goes into the Eastern Gate, come out on the other side, and then they position themselves for battle. Brightness of his appearance, and he opens his mouth. All of the flesh and the eyes and is consumed off of the bone, and the battle is already fought and won. You know, Jesus Christ will fight in this battle, and the saints will appear with him for the Battle of Armageddon. The ten-toed kingdom is destroyed. You know, the old revised Roman Empire will be destroyed. The false prophets, they will all be cast into the abyss or the bottomless pit. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Michael chains him up and throws him into the bottomless pit. And then there is peace on earth, and the government thereof shall be of no end. I mean, Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, on the 32nd Jubilee cycle, he fulfilled the Jubilee. Not only did he fulfill the Jubilee, the Messiah is cut off 69th week. There's 1 week called the Tribulation that's in the balance. After the Tribulation time is over, the Battle of Armageddon is fought, and the Millennium Kingdom, the Kingdom of God, that God rules the universe. Now listen to this. He rules the universe from Jerusalem, from his temple. You know, the church is here with him. You know, he's here for 1,000 years. You know, we talk, you know, Jesus Christ came back, came here, first time he came here. He didn't come here to be in charge. He came here to die for the sins of the world. You know, he didn't come here to take over. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. Of course, all of the prophecies spoke about Jesus coming, the coming of the Messiah. You know, but he came here. We're going to go to, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go there, and let's pick it up there. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Priests, and the increase of his government, listen to this, and the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and the justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm going to read that again. Verse 7, the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment and with justice, and henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Peace on earth. First of all, the peacemaker will be here. Satan is bound. You know, so we will have peace on the earth. You know, not only peace, there'll be no sin in the world. Everything will be back in order like it was during the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. The sin issue has already been settled. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He was the Lamb chosen for before the foundation of the world, died for the sins of the world. So he came here, stepped into time, and lived 33 and a half years in time, went to Calvary, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day he arose from the dead. He shed his blood for the sins of the world, for the unborn generations. The sin issue, he was a sin offering. You know, of course, his blood was spared on the mercy seat. God was well pleased with his sacrifice. You know, well pleased with his sacrifice. You know, one man, second Adam, you know, one man, redeemed us back to the Father, became a door to the sheepfold, a door that we can enter in, made a way when there was no way. We were cut off, you know, became the mediator of the New Testament, you know, blessed us with a new hope, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, you know, set a whole different, whole new order of things. God wanted to live in lively stones. Not only lively stones, you know, just think about it. Nobody could live the law perfect. But if we walk in the Spirit, if we allow our mortal frame, this body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we allow him to live in us, to walk in us, and to consummate in us, to move in us, to talk in us. If we surrender our life to know him in the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, not as though I've already attained or were already perfect, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we surrender our life, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. When we crucify this flesh, when we crucify the flesh, when we walk in the Spirit, when the feast fulfilled, when the fruit of the Spirit, when the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in us, you know, we thank God that we can walk in the Spirit. We can allow the God, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And to walk in us and to move in us. You know, this is what, you know, what God wants from us as Christians. You know, we can live a victorious life when we allow the Spirit to be led by the Spirit. You know, when we can allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, then we can walk in a victorious life. You know, be strong in the Lord. Brethren, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Then we can walk a triumphant life in God. Amen. We can know what God would have us to know. We can do what God would have us to do. We can, you know, we can be steadfast, unremovable, always abounding in the will of the Lord, knowing that our labor in God is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? So we thank God for the Holy Ghost and his life and his purpose in the life of the Savior, of the saint. You know, living victorious life. You know, Jesus Christ in the millennium age, you know, during the millennium kingdom, you know, his government. Jesus never became a king here on earth. You know, he was called King of Kings. And when he's on during the millennium age, he rules on the throne of David, the seed of Jesse. And he is declared. Let's read it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. King of kings and Lord of lords. He never, you know, Jesus, of course, you know, the way he presented himself to the Jews, they wanted somebody to fight, you know, to lead them in battle against the Roman government. They were expecting a leader like David, a great warrior. David killed 10,000. Saul kills 1,000. You know, they were expecting somebody with the force and, somebody that was going to take over and rule, you know. But Jesus didn't have that kind of message. He didn't have that kind of, when he came here the first time, he didn't come here to be in charge. He came here to die for the sins of the world. Amen. When he comes back for the battle of Armageddon, there's a whole different Jesus. He rules with a rod of iron. You know, he has a sword. Comes riding on a white horse. You know, he comes here for battle. You know, the wine press. You know, he's about order. You know, putting things in order. Things being in his, you know, Christ ruling through. This is theocracy. This is the type of government that we have. It's called theocracy. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We are simply his body. There are many members in the body of Christ. Christ ruling through. It's called theocracy. You know, Jesus Christ, when he comes back, the king's ministry, he is not only he's the owner of all things. Earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The Bible asks the question, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? He who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceit. I mean, he's coming back. He has all authority. You know, all authority was given unto him. You know, every knee, he has all power, all authority. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is the beginning and he's the end. He has all authority. Christ ruling through. You know, he sets up his government. And the end thereof shall be no end. This is called the millennium age. Of course, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses have the right idea. They witness. They get out and they witness the kingdom. They witness the kingdom, you know, going into the millennium age. You know, they witness the millennium, you know, the authority and the thousand-year rule. Amen? Let's go a little bit further in this. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. I'm sorry, Daniel. Let's go to Daniel again. Daniel chapter 2. Amen. Let's look at verse 44. In the day of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Listen to what it says. And in the days of the kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God have made known to the kings what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation of thereof sure. Daniel gives an interpretation of the dream, the metallic image, you know, the head of gold, the shoulder and the arms were made out of silver, belly of brass, the thighs were iron, and then there was the feet that was made out of part clay and part iron. And he saw in the vision where the metallic beast was struck on the feet with a rock that was hurled out of the mountain and destroyed the metallic beast. Of course, we know the Ten-Toed Kingdom is a revised Roman Empire. The revised Roman Empire. Countries like Turkey, the European economic communities, these countries come together, of course, you know, the false prophet, the little horn, the Antichrist is in charge of the one world order. Jesus Christ, when he comes back to fight, he's fighting in this battle, and he destroys the world system, the Antichrist, and the one world order. Amen? And then he sets up a kingdom here on the earth. He rules again with a rod of iron here for battle. You know, the grace, you know, we think that God, because at this point we're living in something called the dispensation of grace, where God is loving, kind, and compassionate, and merciful, and long-suffering toward us. But when the church is raptured, the grace period is ended. Of course, then we see the God of war, you know, the God that breaks things in pieces. You know, that if you don't want mercy, he has a sword, a two-edged sword that cuts, going in and coming out. You know, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, you'd be surprised. The word of God is powerful, spoken under the anointing, spoken by God, and it will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the very things that he sent it out to do. The battle of Armageddon is fought. Jesus Christ will rule again for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years, Satan is released for a little season, and he comes out, and people are tempted. Of course, like anything else, you know, if you're not rooted and grounded, you know, if you're not focused, you know, if you're not purposed in the will of God, it's so easy to fall. It's so easy to be caught up false systems, you know, wanting you know, being led by flesh and ego and pride and all these isms and schisms, it's so easy to be caught up and caught out there in situations Daniel saw the metallic beast, metallic image, which is the time of the Gentiles. Of course, the Jews went into captivity in Babylon. You know, they went into captivity, and for 400 years, they were in captivity. Amen. We recognize that May the 12th, 1948, the fig tree pattern. He says, when the fig tree chew forth tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. And the generation that saw Israel become a nation would see it all fulfilled. You know, since Babylon, the Jews were scattered all over the world. They had no place, a country to say that it was their country. May the 12th, 1948, they became a sovereign nation. And Jesus said to them, the generation that see this all fulfilled would see it all fulfilled, the sign of his coming and the end of this age, this dispensation. The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus came to, not only did he come here to show us who God was, you know, the witness. You know, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I mean, nobody had ever seen God but Jesus. So he came to witness God to us, witness the kingdom. You know, when we operate in the kingdom, when we become kingdom citizens, you know, when you give God your life, you take on a new name, a new citizenship. You know, you take on a whole, your whole affection is not on the things of this world. You know, we talk about going to heaven. Jesus talks about preparing a place for us, that he can go and come again and receive us unto himself. You know, we put too much emphasis in this world and in this life. You know, all of this is temporary. You know, it wasn't intended to last forever. You know, it was only temporary. This is only a test. Between salvation and the rapture is a test. You know, we are tried in our faith. We're tried, you know, on every side. You know, we're built up on every side. It's a test. It's a classroom. Call it what you want. You know, the old saints used to call it a dressing up room. You know, where we put on God, where we're made in, you know, to be perfect. I mean, we try to walk in perfection, and we have to walk in a way, circumspect, that God would have us to walk, sanctified, holy, blameless, sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. We do this. You know, we do these things. He's coming back for a church. Well, spot, without a wrinkle, without blemish, a glorious church. We've got to find our way back. You know, we are simply sojourners here. We sojourned here. We have to find our way back to the Father. Amen? So we bless God that Jesus became the waymaker. He made a way when there was no way. He opened up a door for us. And he has everything to prepare for us. The millennium age, peace on earth. You know, peace, righteousness. And the end of his government, there shall be no end. You know, there will be no end. And after the white throne judgment, our judge, Satan, and the wicked dead, the judge, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire, and this is called the second death. you know, time is removed. Time is no more. John saw a new heaven and a new earth. Former things were passed away. You know, he saw the heaven unrolling itself like a bride adorning herself for her husband. You know, a new heaven and a new earth. Former things were passed away. Behold, all things are made brand new. You know, church, you know, if there was a time for us to line up and to be real about our eternal life, you know, this is the time for us to do it. You know, speak as we ought to speak. Walk as we ought to walk. You know, we should be transformed, our hearts, and we should be transformed. It's the times that we're living in are dangerous times. Dangerous times, brothers and sisters. We've got to get real about our salvation. We've got to wake out of sleep. You know, we got to wake up. We can't be drunk with the fears of this life, distracted, weighted down with cares and responsibilities and things of this nature. You got to, it's time to be focused. Time to be all the way in, not halfway in, not halfway out. It's time to get in. And being, you know, it's time to be real about this thing called salvation. Amen? Let's go a little bit further about the millennium kingdom. Let's go to Isaiah. We're going to Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Talk a little bit more about the millennium kingdom, that God will set up on this earth for 1,000 years. Look at the order. See, we are so, it's hard to conceive certain things in our minds because of, you know, the fact that we have a certain order here in this world. But just think about it. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Sin is removed from and unrighteousness, you know, the old order of things have changed. Now he's here ruling the universe, not just the earth. The whole universe is being ruled from the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ is seated. You know, his government, not only his government, he sits on the throne of David, an everlasting kingdom that has no end. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 11, let's start at verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, that he shall not judge after any sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Let's look at verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with iniquity for the meekness of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with his breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf, listen to the order. Listen how, you know, we're talking about a God of order. A God of order. Let's just look at how this thing lines up, how this everything just falls in place. Verse 6, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, come on. and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatting together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat squaw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the apse, and the waxing child shall put his hand crocodile then, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I look forward to it. I can imagine. Heaven on earth, and for 1,000 years, heaven will be here on the earth. Jesus Christ will rule. Everything will have order. You know, they shall be led by a little child. Things that will naturally, like the lion, the bears, and crocodiles, the order of that nature and the nature of that animal is totally changed. You know, we just thank God that God has purpose. He has purpose, and he has his own way. You know, we just thank God that in the will of God, in the purpose of God, you know, how God brings things totally around. Again, time was not made for God. Time was made for man. And when Adam sinned, God placed him in time. And in time he lived, and in time he died. Time is removed. You know, after the millennium kingdom, after the 1,000-year rule, time is no more. Amen? Time is no more. You step into something called eternity, which is an eternal noun. It's between Alpha and Omega. It's simply an eternal now. Amen? So we bless God for his plans in salvation. You know, we bless God for this. You know, he's simply going to go right back to his original plan. You know, which was here. You know, he would come down in the cool of the afternoon and walk and fellowship, you know, fellowship with Adam. Adam forsake God by eating of the forbidden fruit. He told him that the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Adam forsake his first estate. He lost it. Satan gained it, gained the he found an interest. You know, he came in working because of Adam's sin. Satan has rights here on the earth until God binds him up and casts him into the lake of fire. His time is ended. He only has a time. You know, he's called the God of this world, this age, or this system. He simply comes here to declare himself to be God. You know, that which God created. Now, declare himself to be as God, you know, wanting to be as God, Satan is cast out of heaven. His pride becomes such that, you know, that which God created wanted to be like the Creator himself. And God kicked him out of heaven. He walked up and down, you know, in heaven. The anointed cherubim lost his place in heaven to want to be in charge. You know, we've got to recognize who we are. You know, understand who you are and what your place is in this world and in God's plan, in God's providential will. We got to recognize who we are. You know, understand this. We need God for everything. He created us for the purpose of praising and worshiping him. This is what God created us for. You know, we were made to worship him, to bow in his presence, and to do his will. This is what we were made for. You know, he doesn't force us to do anything, but when we recognize who he is, you know, we have a desire to please him, to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, we were made to praise him. God created us for the purpose of giving him praise. And when we do those things that God has purposed for our lives, then it praises God. And these are the things that God made us for. You know, the highest praise is not hallelujah. The highest praise is the fact that we are doing what God intended for us to do. You know, we give him perfect praise. We're doing what he's purposed in us to do. This is the highest praise. The sun is created to shine, the moon, the earth, I mean water from the sun. And when you're doing what God has purposed for you to do, you are doing the highest praise. You are doing the highest praise. Brothers and sisters, he's coming again. And then he's coming back to the earth to establish his kingdom and his government. If you remember, he didn't have government. He didn't rule this earth. He came here, lived 33 and a half years. He was crucified. He died, was buried for 3 days, and he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. He never occupied any office. He never was installed as the king. But in the millennial age, he's king of kings and lord of lords. And he rules this universe from Jerusalem on the throne of David. Amen. We certainly thank God for the word on tonight. We bless him for all things. We certainly praise him for all things. We thank God for what he shared with us. You know, we've seen his witness here, not only in the book of Isaiah, the book of Daniel, but also John in the book of Revelation. Three witnesses. His word is established. It shall come to pass. Amen. So we thank God for his word on tonight. And the kingdom, his kingdom shall be no end. You know, his kingdom shall be of no end from eternity to eternity. He is God, and he does rule, and he will rule. Nobody shall share his glory. His glory belongs to him. God will not share his glory with a man. He is King and Lord forever. We are simply servants of the Most High God. You shouldn't want to have to want to share in his glory. Whatever you know, he gave it to you. Whatever you understand, he gave it to you. Whatever you're doing, he allows you to do it. You know. So we give him all the glory. We give him all the honor, and we give him all the praise. We don't try to share in anything that he's doing down here. We're simply blessed in the fact that he allows us to be a part of what he's doing. You know, we are simply blessed that he chose us. You know, he chose us and he uses us for what he needs and what he does. Amen? So, you know, we are simply blessed that he chose you, because he could have chose somebody else. Amen? So we bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercies endure to all generations. We look forward to the millennium kingdom. Oh, yes. I can't wait. We're going to stop here for the night. Is there any questions or anything that we could you need us to redo, or we say something, or share something different? If not, we're going to pray and close out and give God thanks for such a wonderful service and the things that he shared with us on tonight. We certainly are grateful for the good news of the gospel. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we certainly honor you, we exalt you, we bow in your presence, and we give you thanks for the word that you sent forth and the clarity of the understanding of your kingdom. Lord God, we are blessed to be kingdom citizens. We just ask you to continue to bless us with more knowledge about the kingdom of God, recognizing that the kingdom is at hand. We just ask that this word would go forward now with power and authority, that the hearts of men be open to understanding, that you would open their eyes and their ears to the knowledge of your word, and that you would manifest the increase as only God can give increase. We ask you to bless us now. Bless this word. Bless the hearers of the word. We ask that you bless our family members everywhere. Bless people everywhere, Lord. The time that we're living in, the trials that we will go through at this hour, we ask you, Lord God, for strength and fortitude to build us up, Lord God, where we're torn down in our mortal frame, not only in our physical body, but also in our in the spirit man. Give us the strength to overcome, Lord God, the obstacles and the handicaps and the problems and the circumstances and the attitudinal situations, Lord. We ask for you to adjust these attitudes. Give us a heart of thanksgiving. And take out the heart of stone. Bless us, Lord God, even the more. Keep us, God, in the midst of it all. We humble ourselves before you. We recognize the great I am, God. Recognize that you're God and there's nothing like you or besides you. You're God all by yourself. And we bless you now for these and all things. Keep us, God, in the midst of it all. Bless us, and we shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God, and amen.
Thank you. Lord, thank you.